Welcome to Sports 1140
AHD. Good morning.
I don't understand what the problem is here.
Put the top down.
Good morning.
Fair doesn't matter. It's stupid.
Welcome to the drive.
New morning, team.
Now shut up and
drive. Attacking one of the mill morning show with Carmichael Dave.
But I've never played professional sports, so.
You're kidding.
You know what? Funny, I have.
Katie Christensen.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Agreed. And Nate Goodyear.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator.
Here we go.
I was just entertaining the people on the morning drive.
We on a mission.
Hold on tight. With Dave. With Katie and Nate. Katie and Nate.
I am not driving no minivan.
Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios.
Broadcasting live.
Why is this difficult?
Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Get ready for the show of a lifetime.
Now. The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
It is a cliche to say that we have a packed show that has a busy day. It's a cliche to do that in sports talk radio, but it's one of those times where we actually have a lot of stuff to get to.
We're stacked. Loaded.
Loaded. You're not going to want to miss what's happening today. Dave, Katie, and Nate. It's the Drive Friday edition, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You can text us your dumb texts at 44-1140.
You don't have to be dumb.
You don't have to. And occasionally the textures fly right through, and that's fine. We're going to have, obviously, we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs today. I've got a poll question regarding the Sacramento Kings coaching search. George Karl is talking again, and we'll have some clips about that later.
Is he just trying to be
what's going on
the Cal
here?
Ripken of postmortems?
They just talk
every day. I mean, he's on a bit of a streak now. He's just kind of got to keep it going, right?
Yeah.
Who's next? Can we get him?
I'm just wondering. I mean, it's interesting to me that he's still talking. A lot of it is still the same information, just in a little bit of a different way, meaning that someone else is asking the questions.
Michelle Dapper of
Channel 3. To me, what's interesting is who he's giving these interviews to. Now, I don't know if it's just, you know, where he's making a decision. He's turning down other interview offers and is selecting these people specifically, or if they're just the only ones that asked.
Can we unpack that today?
Yeah, let's unpack that interview. I feel like
there's
more
some interesting
of asked
stuff in it.
I think there is. I think there's definitely some discussable things that we'll get to. So that's fine. I don't want to jinx this, but I'm going to. Yeah, I throughout my years of experience
You've
with this man,
better.
I've learned quite a bit better. But have been in contact with Ron Artest over the last couple of days. He was actually going to come on and surprise us yesterday at 8 o'clock. And then, of course,
and yes, you're the only one allowed to call him Ron, which is going to be weird when he comes on.
We're going to discuss that.
Yeah.
We're going to discuss that.
We're not allowed to call him Ron.
That's
not true at all. Okay. Because I'm not going to call him a different name than you call him.
Thank you. Exactly. Okay. You shouldn't. Okay. And we're going to talk about that. Okay. There's no rules.
Yeah. That would just end up being weird.
Is that like the theme of our show? There's no rules.
It's just no rules.
This is not
no
NOM. This is radio.
On the drive.
That's going to be a promo, or they're going to put that in the open. There's no rules.
There's no rules on the drive.
Hold on a second. We got to be silent. Try that one more time so we get a clean cut.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Okay.
There's no rules on the drive.
Boom. You got that? We're good.
Got that. All right. Matt's shaking his head.
Promo cut.
I'll tell you one story that's going to be talked about, I think, a lot today, and this comes from the angle of it's not just – I think it's lazy, and I think we all agree with this. I think it's lazy just to grab headlines and say, hey, here's a headline.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Kyle Lowry's three at the
– No, not lazy-ish.
Three-point attempt. Mm-hmm.
You could call it that. Yeah, three-point try. Good try.
Atrocity.
Good
Gave
effort.
It an effort.
I think it's lazy to just grab headline and be like, hey, here's a headline. Here's another headline. Here's the headline. Here's the story without having some sort of angle or place to discuss it. Maybe you guys are better at me than this, but one of the stories going to be talked about, I think, on sports radio and on TV and all that today is going to be that according to a judge, he said insurers in litigation with Penn State claim a boy told coach Joe Paterno in 1976.
Yeah, I heard about that.
He'd been molested by convicted former Nittany Lions assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky.
You said 76, right?
1976. That's 40 years ago. My question is this. I don't know what to do with that. It's horrible.
It's a tough thing to talk about.
Terrible. And I don't. What is the conversation there? It's a horrible situation made even more disgusting, if that's even, I didn't even know that was, that might be the biggest thing. How do you make the most disgusting situation, maybe in the history of sports, even more disgusting?
I mean, isn't it the, isn't the only thing it really is at this point to try to hammer it home to the stands of Penn State and Joe Paterno? Exactly. I mean, you don't like dancing on a guy's grave.
That's my,
But, you know, there are still these people out there that will just ride and, I mean, the university, aside from the people that are just stands for the university.
Sure.
The university has made such a mess out of this. And, I mean, in some way, Joe Paterno has done plenty of damage to his own reputation.
Absolutely.
But their entire argument with him was that by the time he heard of anything, I mean, he was just old innocent Joe Paterno. He didn't even understand, you know, what the, it didn't even make any sense to him, this stuff he was being told. You telling me a 50-year-old man felt that way?
Right.
I mean, whatever. You're right, Dave. Like, where do you go that's the super hot, rad take? But, I mean, hey, you guys.
I think this just sheds a little light. And this was in 1976. I mean, college sports was not at the point that it got to by the end of Paterno's career and when all of this was happening, right? When all of this information was coming out. So I think for me, it just shows a little bit of how college sports has evolved and the money behind it, especially when you're talking about a football program. But the fact that that was an environment that was created and fostered very early, it sounds like, where winning is the most important thing and all else is going to be kind of swept under the rug. It's like if you find that out, okay, maybe you don't want it to come out in 1976, but why did it come out so many years later? And why did you, as the head of this program, think that this was something that would just stop? Or was he that naive?
Yeah.
Or did he allow for an environment for this guy to prey on kids?
Bingo. And it's not, I mean, it could, because it's not necessarily about creating that environment. It's about creating the environment where any sort of rules are lax.
Right.
You know, because you could just see, even if you take away the context of what Jerry Sandusky actually did, if you want to call it something way lesser, recruiting violations or something along those lines, you see how far people are willing to go just to protect their brand and to protect whatever it is they've built with Penn State football or the university. And it's really easy to make the leap as commentators to say, well, if Penn State cared about winning that much and cared so much about their brand, what about the other 120 some odd schools out there? You know, the Texas A&Ms, the USC's. What you know, what are, even if they're not covering up stuff like this, and that's not the accusation that everyone's making, is that, hey, this is rampant in college sports. But there's obviously a culture where the brand and winning is much more important than anything that can affect you negatively public relations wise.
If you're willing to cover up child molestation, you may very well be willing to cover up free shoes.
It's about anything.
I can't think of much.
If you
that
can cover up the worst, then you're willing to cover up the the little things that, you know, are no less important because these rules are there for a reason. But if the big ones, if you're covering
up criminal infractions, like you're probably going to be covering up things that aren't criminal
are just NCAA violations.
That's where this lies, is as we've talked for 5 minutes about it now, which is a testament to you guys, because I was sitting there fumbling with this last night. It just comes to, it's a very oogie, the whole thing is oogie, and that, I don't know what other word to use. It's just uncomfortable and gross and disgusting. And when you're talking about this, in my head, I have it. I have it in my head. This is how I have it, nice and neat, and the partition, because I don't know how to deal with it. Is okay. Paterno was guilty of a bunch of stuff. Paterno didn't participate in any of it, but damn it, if he didn't open the door, and now he's dead. And I'm no doctor, but in my mind, Joe Paterno was killed by the scandal. The scandal killed him. It killed him. He's dead because of the scandal. That's how I have it in my head. Shortly after all this happened, boom, Joe Paterno dies.
Now, to clarify, I mean, are you sympathizing with him?
No, I'm not. I'm not. What I'm saying is he's gone. He's dead. He's in the ground now. And so for me, whereas the information has to come out, the struggle I have in talking about it is, at this point, this stuff coming up while educating and doing the right thing. I'll tell you the sympathy I guess I have. Obviously, first and foremost, it's the victims, and they're in first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth place. But at some point on that tree, I feel for Joe's wife. I feel for his kids. I feel for his cousins. I feel for the people that weren't involved, with the exception of surname.
But he's
the guy that brought them into it.
100%. I'm not blaming anybody but Joe and but the guy.
Sandusky.
Thank you, Jerry Sandusky. Of course not. But I'm not going to lie and say there's not a part of my sympathy. And I don't think it has to be. The response has to be, Dave, there should be no room in your heart to feel bad for his wife or kids. Feel bad for the victim.
Well, his family's caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, of course. Of course the victims are first and foremost. And, of course, anything Joe Paterno's wife is going through pales in comparison. Of course. There's room in my heart to feel bad for a number of people in that situation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's out. It should be out. But, again, where the hell do you
There's
go?
There's no winners.
No, exactly. Yeah. There's no winners at all.
I get from your perspective.
Except maybe except maybe when you talk about winners, and that's probably the wrong word, but people in the future at blah, blah university that are confronted with something like this and who are morally unstable will have this in the back of their head, and maybe if it was a questionable call for them as to whether or not to come forward, maybe the winners are the potential victims and everybody else, that this doesn't happen ever again. That's all I can think of, is you learn from the failures of others.
Vacating wins and taking stuff, it doesn't matter. No. I mean, really, the bigger picture here is that I think it's a testament to the fact that when you are the head of something like a college football team, or you can spread it across a lot of different kind of ground here, and the head of something important and a big thing, you have to realize that not only do you need to know what's going on, that if confronted with something, you have to investigate, you have to look at it, because that's unfortunate, because that should just be the moral thing to do.
Yes.
But this is a testament to, okay, this is what happens when you do not do the right thing. It will end up blowing up in your face and causing a world of hurt for so many people. I mean, this lays a groundwork for some people, which unfortunately I don't think that there needs to be a groundwork laid. It should just be the right thing to do. But in professional sports, college football, all college sports, it doesn't matter. Even at the high school level, AAU sports and stuff, just because it's the right thing doesn't mean that people do it.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, we will, and again, part of the topic, we will shift very uncomfortably over to regular things, sports and playoffs and all the other stuff that's going on.
Some lighter-hearted things.
Well, yeah, not be so serious there. We'll talk about the playoffs and tell you why, or ask the question, really, are the NBA playoffs officially back on track, and were we all just whining about absolutely nothing? We'll go over that and reveal the poll question of the day. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. What'd you just say off the air about Jonas Valanciunas?
You were saying how much your wife thinks he's like the cat's meow.
My wife loves Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, and I was like, that's funny because he kind of looks like you.
I wish. I mean, I guess.
See, I was just going to say, you better hope I never grow a foot, because then you can never let your wife around me.
That's a great point.
Face.
I don't let my family around you anyway, so I learned that a long
time. Many, many reasons.
Learned that long time ago. By the way, I always like to acknowledge greatness, and I would like to acknowledge Matt George filling in for Jay Johnson behind the glass. For example, check the song playing right now. That's a reference to Katie's failures on the sleep train whistle.
Yeah, good job, Matt.
See?
Also not my idea, Nate Goodyear's.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
It's so
thank
funny.
You for giving me credit.
It's like I heard the song, but I wasn't listening to
not
it.
Not registering.
You gotta you got to dig deep for that.
And you know what? Even now that you point it out, like, I've heard the song before, but I don't know what the hell it's about.
It kind of blows.
Yeah.
It kind of blows.
Yeah, well, Matt, right when we complimented you, All just went downhill.
Tried too hard.
Destroyed the whole thing. That's Flo Rida, is it not?
You know what? I will determine whether or not Matt has done a good job if he plays the song as we come back from break that I requested yesterday that got pooh-pooed because it was not Cinco de Mayo related.
You guys, I mean, Flo Rida's got it pretty sweet, right? Like, you make millions of dollars making music.
Saying the same thing over and over again.
Well, you get to hear your own music in the strip club.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, basically, it's a self-fulfilling type of, you know,
thing.
You get your money to go to the strip club with the music that you make to listen to.
So that he can have make it rain.
Right.
At the strip
club. I'd take it. That's all.
Really, that's just to support his lifestyle.
I've got no issues with Flo.
People have to work to support their lifestyle.
Join Sports 1140 for Susan G. Komen Sacramento's 20th annual Race for the Cure this Saturday, May 7th at Cal Expo. Help us move one step closer to a world without breast cancer. Register now, hey, at KomenSacramento.org. Today's poll question, we're putting this out. It's a flash poll, by the way. It'll wrap up.
Flash
poll.
It's going to wrap up just as the show begins to end. We'll give you the results at the end of the day. It's just very simply, because we haven't asked this yet, at least in poll terms, who's your favorite for Kings coach? There's only four choices here, so what I did
not Kevin McHale.
McHale's out. I put Vogel, Woodson, Messina, and other. McHale's out. I think there's going to be a lot of others. I will predict. I don't want to do everyone's work for them, but I don't think I'm being especially smart here when I think Vogel will be the overwhelming choice. Because it's new, and mm-hmm. because he's successful.
It's interesting.
In defense.
You don't have Vinny in there.
I have Vinny under other, but he's under other. Vinny is also other, as is Patrick Ewing and Mark Jackson and Elston Turner.
You're trying to say all coaches are the same.
Yes, exactly. I don't. You know, when it comes
2016,
to
Dave.
I don't think Vogel. I don't think
he's
going to
have some interviews
here.
Several places.
Is there a big difference? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Between Vogel and Woodson for you?
Yeah, as far as who I think or
not who you want, but like in terms of those two guys as coaches, like you're going to get similar type of, what's the word I'm looking for? Strategies, I guess. Like you're both going to get kind of, yeah,
style.
You're both going to get kind of defensive minded type of, I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's too simple to say that Frank Vogel is George Karl, but defense. You know what I'm saying? I think that's too
simple. Okay.
But I think just putting it in dumb, simple terms, I think that what you'll get in Frank Vogel is similar to what you got out of George Karl in offense. You're going to get a guy who is very successful at creating and helping teams be defensive minded, and the offense suffers because of that. Much like George Karl, say what you want about George Karl. If his job was to get the pace going and the offense going, which is all we heard about for the previous 2 years,
happened.
Number one in pace and number three in offense. He passed
and
with flying colors.
Look how far it got you. I think
exactly.
Also implied in like increasing the pace is like also increase the wins. And no matter what he said in the interview that we're going to play snippets from, a 3 or 4 win increase in a season, I don't feel is what you would put under the category of success.
But then again, they improved their win total by 5 under George Karl.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
How many have they been averaging?
28, 28, 29 previous 3 years. 28, 28, 29, 34.
No, in the grand scheme of things, the difference between, you know, if you don't make the playoffs, the difference between 28 wins and 34 wins is nothing. It doesn't mean a mm-hmm. thing. Lottery status is you're stuck in quicksand.
You
quicksand.
Are, and again, and we're you know, I don't want to, I don't want to drag you into
a, was
that.
The year
beating
good or
horse.
Bad? 3-3-9,
right,
11-40.
Exactly. And I mean, it's a fun, interesting, right? Neato question, but it's one of those things where now all of a sudden you're going from a team last year that was taught offense, offense, pace, pace, offense, and then if you do bring in Frank Vogel, now it's defense, 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 defense. And are you going to give some of these players whiplash? If you bring in a Frank Vogel, does that mean a roster overhaul? And is that a bad thing for a 34-win team?
Are you worried about whiplash when, honestly?
They got whiplash last year from watching other teams run up and down the floor on them. So I'm not too concerned about strategy.
When you look at this roster right now, what we had this previous season, is it whiplash when you would assume that there's going to be a lot of changes? I don't think that's whiplash. There's going to be an overhaul of the roster. You've got to expect that.
I would imagine there's going to be.
I'm not saying 10 new guys.
I understand that, but somewhere around 4, 5, 6, like last year.
Yeah.
Here's to me the interesting Vogel question is the bulk of the roster as they have it right now, which again, assuming DeMarcus Cousins is the centerpiece. Are guys like him and Willie Cauley-Stein more suited to be on a more defensive-minded team than an offensive-minded team? Big, lumbering, big men. DeMarcus more than Willie, obviously. Willie's quick.
I don't think it matters with Frank Vogel. I mean, he had one of his top guards was Monte Ellis, man, and he had a top three defense. Like, that's insane. Ellis is a trash fire
on
defense.
Yes, he is.
And DeMarcus, at least he is a smart defender.
I'm glad that you pointed out, look what Frank Vogel was able to do with the roster that he had. Because, yes, one of the arguments that we've heard this season about this team is like, oh, well, if you want defense, get me defensive players. Well, everybody can be a defensive player. You don't have to be a standout one-on-one defender.
It takes a team.
It takes a team. And you can cover up bad one-on-one people or below average with having good team concepts. Mm-hmm. And so I get, you know, where a coaching staff can say, hey, you know, well, if you want defense, get us defensive players. But when you don't have great defensive players, doesn't that mean that maybe something that you should actually be practicing is defense?
You'd think.
And that's been an overriding theme coming out of that locker room all season, is that they did not practice defense ever. So going out there and say, switch everything, that's one of the hardest defenses you can play if you're a horrible defensive team. Everyone thinks it's lazy and easy, but no, it's in
you
order
gotta
to
talk,
do it well.
You got to hustle.
Exactly.
It's, yeah. That's
Thank
it. I know.
You, I've always, I, we're, yes.
Right. Well, I've always laughed about it because it's, you know, anyone that gets out there at the Y and plays man on man, it's like, oh, we're switching every screen. You think it's easy. We'll just switch. Well, what happens when a guy just does a soft screen and splits right to the rim? You know what I mean? There's so many different things that make it way more complicated than you
like
would think.
Or even like a handoff or whatever. Yes. And what happens when a team knows that you're going to do that and they automatically just get a switch that they want and then they play ISO with your, you know, your
you think
one
NBA
player
teams
having to guard a
combat
five.
Switches? Yeah. Come on.
But here's my worry.
Still
is that
practice defense.
It is fun to talk about Frank Vogel, and quite frankly, I'd be very happy with that hire. It just does not seem realistic to me, and I hope I'm wrong, but why would Frank Vogel come to Sacramento? I think Frank Vogel in Houston would be hilarious. I think it would be awesome. Frank Vogel meets James Harden.
Look out.
You know, I think that would be very interesting.
So you're going to be awesome or terrible?
Yes. So if you are the most—
No in between.
Can we agree, other than, I mean, maybe some of the guys have been off the market forever, you can make an argument about Jeff Van Gundy and the Bill Cowers of the world, you know, the guys that are rumored to come back but don't. Would we say that of the coaches being spoke about, that Frank Vogel is, that's the number one coach on the market right now, is it not?
Because he's the newest.
Yeah.
Well, and because he's a consistent playoff coach. I mean, so why would the most attractive coach on the market come to the least attractive job?
I think there's something very attractive about this job that we haven't talked about. We'll talk about it after the break. But I think that we have not discussed it, and it's a very valid point in this coaching search.
We'll continue that when we get back. We'll also give you the award of the hour as well. We're running late on that in the 10K a day giveaway. It is Sports 1140 KHDK. It's a drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I'm guessing this is the song Katie wanted.
Why? Because I'm dancing?
Yes. Is there a special reason for it?
I just love the intro to the song.
What is the song?
It's Hell on Hills by Brantley Gilbert.
Oh!
Which I think is kind of a... Did I say Hell on Hills or Hell on Wheels?
I think you said Hell on Heels.
Hell on Hills is a God, what's the name of them? It's the Chicks with Miranda Lambert. I'm blanking on that. I listened to that yesterday, too, but Hell on Wheels.
It's country.
Which I kind of feel like, you know,
you
to
are?
A certain degree, I'm Hell on Heels, but I think we're Hell on Wheels.
I still don't get why you wear it. Help me out. Dumb guy question here for a second. How come you wear heels?
Flats are too cash,
it makes my ass look nice.
Is that honest? No, I mean, I'm asking. I'm a guy.
You know
I have
what?
No idea. I wore heels once, and that was in
the walk
a mile weave thing last year. And all it taught me was, well, it taught me a lot, but the biggest thing it taught me was, you guys are nuts to wear those things. I don't get it. It's painful and horrible.
So it's nice to dress up and feel like, I don't know. It's like sexy to a degree. You want to like feel like you're putting forth an effort and doing something. And no matter how you look at it, when you put on flats, there's nothing. There's no sexy flats. Is there, Nate?
So is that the I
only
mean, is,
no
is,
shoes?
Yeah.
Is that the
Take
answer?
Them off.
All right, Rex Ryan. But I mean, is there?
Y'all
a,
like feet? I do.
Can you dress up as a woman with shoes?
Can you dress up as a woman?
I know. Hey, 339-1140. Can women dress up, wear dress-up shoes that aren't heels? Do those exist?
Yeah, but it's more like it's summertime. Like, you can put on some, like, sandals or whatever. Why are we talking about this?
No, because I
feel... Yeah, no, I mean, heels are... If you're 5'5", that's like, it's okay to wear them and you're sexy and cute and you're like, oh, you know, you're doing your girl thing. But when you're 6'3" and you do it and you, it's so funny. People will be like, how tall are you? I'm like 6'3". Oh, that must mean you're like 6'5" in those heels. I'm like, that's horrible math. what 2-inch heel that does is not worn by some grandma going to Sunday, you know, Sunday mass or whatever.
Like, what's the typical size of a heel?
Like 4 is an average height on a heel, and
so
I have 5-inch heels that I wear.
So like about 4. You think?
Yeah. Right.
Like,
yeah.
6, maybe?
So you're 6'7", 6'8",
depending on what
question.
Shoes I
it's
wear.
Not that, listen, you look great. You don't need me to tell you that. You look awesome in here. I'm not commenting on that. I'm saying, as your friend, I wonder because
why?
I know that they're uncomfortable.
No, you know, so here's
and
the
then,
thing.
And that you're so tall, you don't need them. And I was wondering, well, why do you wear
because
them?
Of That's what all. I do for a living. Like, I have heels that
Radio?
Maybe... No, you know, like on the sidelines when I'm doing TV, I am running around the entire game.
Right.
Like, I'm very rare. So I do not wear heels that are uncomfortable.
Oh.
I wear shoes that are comfortable. And I do have a few pair of heels that are like, they're just so damn pretty that you have to get them. But that is not a pair that I can just wear. Like, I'm going to dinner, I'm going to get out of the car, sit at the table, get back in the car, go home. Like, that's when you wear those heels, when you're not actually having to, like, walk around them.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I got nothing.
I hope our word has something to do with heels.
Okay, I'll tell you what. You want to listen to that Brantley Gilbert song and go out with your girlfriends and hit the dance floor and kick up your heels while you're listening to the...
Music.
Absolutely correct.
Uh-huh. Right.
Oh, nice.
I had to search for that, and you got it. Well done. Congratulations. Music is this hour's code word. 80787. Text it and enter online at KHTK.com. By the end of the hour, message and data rates may apply. We'll text you back to confirm your entry. One randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000. All entries will also qualify for a $25,000 grand prize. John is on the phone. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Before I get started, Katie, you rock those heels. Wear whatever you
Thank
want.
Thank you, John.
John, can I be clear? By the way, no one's criticizing Katie's heels.
Dave, I know you're not.
I experienced once how painful they were. And
I believe you. I never wore them, but I believe you.
And John, as somebody just texted in, said Katie could wear bunny slippers and she'd still look great. And so
that's exactly right.
I understand that maybe some vertically challenged people out there might wear heels to be taller, whereas you don't have that issue. So I was just wondering about the science of heels. That's all.
Dave, I totally understand where you're coming from. You're a bigger man than I am because I have never worn heels, but I can only imagine they're not comfortable. But Katie can wear flip-flops and she still look fine. So it is what it is.
Well, thank you.
That's a nice thing to say, John. What's going on?
Well, I just had a question for you. We've been talking on Pro Sports Talk in the Kings Forum, and I had a question because this is just my train of thought on this. The Kings have already been deep in, well, when I say deep, I mean, they've been interviewing coaches, you know, for a little bit now. I have to imagine that they have some sort of final, you guys were talking about this yesterday, they have some sort of finalist list. Is it too late for a guy like Frank Vogel, who just got let go? I'm not saying it's too late to bring him in, but generally you don't see coaches who get fired who immediately days after go on interviews. Is it would that be too late for the Kings?
You know, I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday, John, which is interesting because when you go into a coaching search like the Kings have, it was no surprise to anybody before the season was over that George Karl was not going to likely be retained and that worked out. But we talked yesterday about, okay, there's going to be some coaches as they kind of lose out of the playoffs that are likely going to be available. So I think where you do your due diligence and you talk to a lot of people, but waiting a little bit and seeing how things play out in the playoffs, you've got to expect some good coaches that have some playoff experience and some success in places, but it's just not working out like Frank Vogel in Indiana are going to be available. So I don't think it's too late to bring them in at all. But here's the thing with Frank Vogel is where there's not very many jobs open at this point. So you've got Houston and technically the Knicks, which everyone knows that that's not going to happen. And I don't know. I think the intriguing thing, and I talked about it before we went to break, about this Kings job for the first time, as instable and chaotic as it has been over the last few years, I'm thinking that this is one of the jobs where people can say, yeah, it's been kind of a you know, crap show for a while and instability, but they have to make things stable. So this is a job I could have at least 3 years without having to worry about it.
Okay, I want you to expand on that when we get back, because I do think there's a couple responses there, but I also like where you're going with that as well, as far as the Kings job being an attractive one. Also, when we get back, we have some audio we want to throw out there, including Terrell Owens calling Sam Bradford a coward. we'll
I love it when you snort.
We'll play that next. That's just T.O. Come on, buddy. You know, you wonder why you're not in the Hall of Fame with the numbers you have. We'll do that when we get back. It's The Drive. Dave, Katie, and Nate on Sports 1140 KHCK. Yes, yes. It's The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Hey, do you know Jay-Z is now making an album to respond to Beyonce's album?
What's it called, Ice-T?
I have no idea.
Jay-Z lost his fastball a while ago.
Oh, you think he took the L?
You know what's so funny? He produced that whole album. Yeah.
Huh?
He produced that whole album.
Yeah. Totally.
So it's not like he didn't know what he was about to be faced with.
Yeah, he's still good, but like he's faced with a little bit of what we were talking about off-air with like the Bill Simmons and the Eddie Murphys of the world, where you get to a point where you're so big that you basically lose access to everything that made you a creative force to begin with. You know what I mean? Like Jay-Z's not out on the streets like doing the stuff that inspired his lyrics for his opening album. Like it's just that's not his life
anymore. It's the Alanis Morissette corollary. Her first album was all about she was broken, poor, and dumped and lame.
Yeah,
and then she got rich, and she can't write lyrics like "I was sleeping on the couch and hungry," and you know,
right?
Went and
it's not your life anymore.
No, it's not. It's the old thing. Like they're
if Adele can do it, why can't other people?
Exactly. But let's see where
breaking hearts.
Sam Smith is another one.
But where's Adele's got a shelf life and maybe a couple more albums on that track, and then she's got to do something else because Adele is gonna be rich.
You guys,
so
be careful.
Sought after.
Be careful.
It's
Adele we're talking about.
It's like Stain. Right? Stain was really great when Aaron Lewis was all effed up.
Right.
Isn't that just musicians in general?
It's anybody creative.
Right.
I really believe that.
That's the chicken of the or the egg with the musicians. Like, do you have to be screwed up so you can be a great musician?
A little bit.
Or do you have to
It's acceptable. Yeah. It's the old Dennis Miller bit. It's acceptable for musicians. The more screwed up they are, the better their music is. Mm-hmm. But you can't be like, well, Tom the accountant needs the pills or he can't do the math. Like that doesn't that doesn't apply. Aaron Lewis can't make a living singing about my gated fence. It doesn't let people in. Nobody wants to hear that.
There's like hundreds of people in country music that make millions of dollars off of being phonies right now.
I think it's all music,
really,
though.
Really, Nate? You're going to go there?
The King's Flash poll we put out today.
Yeah, you got a boat and a dog. and live in a trailer,
and a
my
truck.
Ass.
It's hit and rewind on all the earlier songs. It's backwards.
Exactly.
She came back.
Sammy Kershaw and his queen of my double wide trailer. My friggin' foot, Sam.
Who's your favorite for King's Coach? This poll self-destructed about 8:45, so get in right now. Here's the results as we speak. Over 100 votes in. Your favorite for King's Coach, Mike Woodson at 2%.
So I'm glad that you put him as one of the three and not one of
not
the others.
Del Negro.
But here's what's funny. If I had to put money on who the next, I don't
that's
know.
That's the one that you're like, I think this could be
that's,
the one.
That's the guy. If I had to put money on,
I don't know what you're basing that on.
I just a guess, a hunch. Ettore Messina, 27%. Frank Vogel at 56%. And then other, and people have been good in texting in who their other is. Pretty split between Mark Jackson, Patrick Ewing, and Nate McMillan. Other is at 15%.
Is Frank Vogel, because he was literally let go yesterday, is he like, you know, like the most popular girl at the school that like a week before the prom gets dumped and now everybody wants to go?
Well, did any of those guys, I'm trying to think, you had Woodson, you had, what were the other names you listed?
Woodson, Messina, Mark Jackson.
Frank Vogel's the guy that just coached. I mean, so whether or not it's because he just got fired, he's got the most recent fresh track record of this guy was in the playoffs.
Well, this year.
I just think that the fact that we've heard so much about, oh, we don't want a retread. We want, well, he is a retread. Like, what's the difference?
But you know who else is a retread? And that's
everybody.
Not
everybody.
Yeah, well, like Greg Popovich is technically a retread. Mm-hmm. If the Spurs fired him, he's a retread.
Yeah.
He's a big time retread. I'll take that.
I heard it here. Greg Pop out.
Mark Jackson may or may not have limited that Warriors team. I mean, they took off after he left.
Right.
He gets credit for being the building block, but it could just as easily go the other way.
He stopped him. You know who else was a retread? Rick Adelman. Mm-hmm. Rick Adelman was a retread mm-hmm. when he came to Sacramento. And to take your analogy one step further, I think what it is Kings fans showed up at the prom, and they didn't have a date. And they looked around along the walls for the girls or guys that also didn't have dates. But then, like, the third runner-up for prom queen, she
got
just
dumped.
Her date just said something stupid, and she booted him.
Yeah.
And now she's just walking over to the wall right now, And Kings fans are looking at the wall.
It's
and they're
catnip.
Like, right. They're like, average, average, big nose, bad complexion, no body at all. And this goes for guys and girls. I'm not being, you know, I'm not gender specifying here. And then, oh, hey, look. Well, look at the, you know what on that one. Boy,
I don't know what.
That's going to look great. It's going to look, Frank Vogel is
you
a piece.
You like his dress?
Yes.
Oh.
I like his heels.
Want Frank on your face.
Yeah, whatever. I'm fine with that. I think Frank Vogel is very attractive, for good reason.
We'll see how it plays out. The good thing about it, and I said it earlier, I actually think that we're in the beginning when we ranked jobs.
Yes.
And we kind of ranked the Kings job at like eighth when there was still a ton of openings.
When there were seven openings.
Yeah, I think that right now it's a very attractive position to be in because the overriding kind of theme here is we have to clean up this instability. And the only way to do that is to keep a coach in this position for at minimum 3 years and let them work and work with him. And that's what was lacking in the relationship between George Karl and Vlade Divac is that there wasn't a close working relationship. So I think Vlade really badly wants to get a coach in here that he can work with to help him improve the team and give him space and time to do that.
So we have to break, but my question for you to mull over during the break and retort to is, okay, and in theory that sounds wonderful, but if you're a coach, well, that's what they said a year ago.
Right.
That's what they said.
You basically just have to trust.
This is also where Vlade Divac did not hire George Karl and how he came in. And I think that Vlade has the
And Pete D'Alessandro didn't hire Michael Malone.
Yes, I think that Vlade has the reputation in the league where he is a man of his word. He's going to make mistakes along the way.
So it's
the
Vlade factor that's different.
He's trusting.
But what – all right, we got a break. Here's the question. What is it about Vlade Divac? Because the Divac factor was there when we ranked the jobs earlier. The Divac factor is now. What has changed between Kings are the worst job there is, and now Kings are more attractive? What has changed in the last 2 weeks when Vlade has been a consistent? We'll follow up on that when we get back. We'll wrap up the Kings conversation. We have a lot of stuff to get to, but that answer next. And your word of the hour coming up very shortly in the 10K day giveaway. It is a drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.